Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Today we have three shorts made by ART. The first one is Easy Aces, and its focus on Jane's finances. This is from early 2006, starring two old-time radio actors, Esther Geddes McVeigh and Dave Parker.
Well, with Jane's assistance, Mr. Ace staged a big scene for Mr. Ness, trying to convince the old man that Mr. Ace was in good financial shape. Mr. Ace has a piece of property that Mr. Neff is anxious to get, and Mr. Ace is holding out for a good price. This episode takes place in the living room of the Ace's bungalow after dinner, and we find Mr. Ace telling Marge what happened in his office this afternoon. Listen.
Well, you know old man Neff. Doesn't take much to get him excited.
Yes, I know it. But what I don't know is how Jane got mixed up with this deal of yours in the first place.
She didn't know she was getting mixed up with it. She picked him as a prospective signer for that loan company note of hers.
People.
You said of all people, because here I'd been putting on the dog with him and telling him I had more ready cash on hand than I knew what to do with. Didn't care if he bought the property or not. And there was Jane ambling over there trying to get him to sign a note for $100 loan. Well, maybe funny now, because it turned out as well as it did, but...
How did you find out that Jane had been to see him?
Well, she dropped in at my office this afternoon and casually mentioned that Mr. Neff had turned her down on the note.
She did?
Yes. Well, after I came to...
I can imagine.
I saw what damage she'd done. And I understood why Mr. Neff didn't call me in on this deal. I had to act fast. Got him on the phone, got him over to the office, got Jane to tell him that she had been kidding him.
Did he believe her?
No. We both did a lot of heavy acting. I didn't know whether he believed us or not.
But you say he did close the deal with you.
Yeah, but the reason he did is because Jane was confusing him. He said that once before she'd hoodwinked him out of a deal and he didn't know just what was coming off here and he'd rather get involved. He wanted to talk business.
Well, did you get your price?
Well, we compromised. I wanted $7,000 for it. Cost me $3,500 and I wanted to double my money.
Oh, a neat profit there, my friend.
Well, I knew he had to have this corner for some development he was planning.
What did he offer?
Well, he started at $4,500 and finally settled for $5,500.
Well, that's not bad.
Well, I'm not complaining. It was a quick turnover. I only had the property a few days, and when you stop to consider how near I came to missing out entirely when I found out what Jane had done...
that was a close call, but she atoned for it.
Yeah, she did herself proud. In fact, she was so carried away with acting like we had loads of money that she put it on a little too strong. She made me hand over $45 for a coat she wanted to buy.
And you handed it over?
Yeah, what else was I supposed to do with Mr. Neff standing there staring at us? I had to make an impression.
Oh, I'm glad you're taking it in that kind of mood.
Well, I'm in a gay mood, all right. Now with the deal just put over and I have a little surprise for Jane beside.
What is it?
Well, I didn't want to say anything to her about it at dinner, but I'm going to give her a present of $100.
$100?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure. She's been wanting to borrow $100 for so long, I thought I'd give her $100. She did her bit to put over the deal, even if she did do her best to spoil it at first.
Oh, I think that's swell. You put over your deal, and Jane gets her money without having to borrow it and mess it around with signers and notes.
Yes, and here she is, here she is. Don't say anything. Let me tell her.
Okay, all right.
Oh, there you are. Oh, that Laura, she never gets anything right.
What did Laura do now, Jane?
Oh, it's what she doesn't do. I told her to keep track of every cent she spends around the house during the week, and she keeps forgetting it. If she'd only write it down.
Well, why doesn't she?
Oh, I don't know. She just won't. And then every week, like tonight, I have to sit there in the kitchen with her until she remembers where the money went. Honestly, it's like pulling teeth from a baby.
Well, Did you finally get it straightened out?
Well, most of it.
Well, how do you mean most of it? If you're going to keep a budget book, you got to see to it that it comes out to the penny.
Well, it will now. You see, I finally gave her the 30 cents.
You what?
You gave her 30 cents?
Yes, I had to give her 30 cents.
You had to? What for?
Well, to make it come out even for the book.
Well, I don't understand.
Why give her 30 cents?
Well, we figured out what she bought this week, like soap and a scrubbing brush for the sink, a bottle of glue, and so.
Yeah, all right. So what?
Well, when she went to buy it, we figured out exactly what it would cost, and it was $2.70.
$2.70?
Well, I gave her $2.70, and she went and bought everything.
Yes?
Well, just now, when we figured up again how much it all costs, it comes out $3, so I was 30 cents short.
30 cents short.
Don't look at me, Marge. I don't know what she's talking about.
What do you mean, don't look at you? What's so hard about it? We just made a mistake in how much it cost, that's all.
Laura went to the store with the $2.70, and she got everything she sent for, didn't she?
Yes, but just now when we figured it all
up... Yes, just now when you figured up how much these items cost, and it comes out $3. Is that it?
Yes, now you've got it.
Well, how did Laura get it for $2.70?
We don't know. That's the grocer's hard luck. All I know is that I have to write down in my budget book everything she bought and how much it cost. Well, how's it going to look if I write down it costs $3 and if it costs $3 and it only costs $2.70? Oh, what's the matter with you two? Why's everybody looking at me?
Well, I can't quite grasp it.
I can. It all adds up to the fact that she can't keep a budget.
No, it all adds up to $3. Here it is. It comes out just even, $3. Look.
Yeah, you probably added these figures incorrectly, that's what.
Oh, no, we both did it.
You and Laura?
Yes. Now add it up for yourself if you don't believe me.
I am. 240, 260, 285, $3. Yes, it comes out $3.
See? What did I tell you? And I gave her $2.70.
Well, did she spend 30 cents out of her own pocket?
Laura?
Uh-huh.
No. We thought of that, too. She didn't. It's just a mistake, that's all. And the only way to make it come out even is to give her 30 cents. So I did.
Well, I do a lot of bookkeeping down at my office, and I've done a lot of jigsaw puzzles in my day. But a thing like this, I don't understand why you gave her the 30 cents.
Well, I was 30 cents short. Now this... This will show in my book that I spent $3, won't it?
Yes.
But I only spent $2.70. Well, I can't have 30 cents hanging out there somewhere with no place to put it.
So the place to put it is Laura's pocketbook?
Well, after all, she's the one that made the mistake.
Oh. She made the mistake.
Yes.
So as a reward, she gets 30 cents.
And that is why you always come out in the red every week.
In the red?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's why you come out with a loss every week.
Who? Well, let me tell you something, dear. I work my head to the bone around this house for the past 2 weeks. And last week, I had a profit. So I thought, well, that was an accident, I said to myself. Well, I tried again this week. And how would you like to know that I finally came out with a profit again? Just put that in your hat and smoke it.
You came out with a profit.
Surprised, huh?
Yeah, I should say I am. Hey, if it's true...
What do you mean, if it's true? I tell you...
Well, after the way you figured out this thing about Laura, I don't know how much of a profit.
Never mind how much. It's a profit. That's all I care.
Is it much?
Oh, never mind how much.
Well, why the secret? Let me see your books.
Oh, no. You said this is my business. Well, I'm telling you, I had a profit. That's all you have to know.
Well, I hope so.
I'd give anything to know how much it is.
Never mind how much it is.
And if you've been so busy around here trying to borrow $100 to balance the budget, and all the time your budget didn't need balancing, you've had a profit.
Yes. That kind of upset me at first. That is, when I thought I was going to get the $100.
Oh, it upset you.
Yes, because I was going to borrow it to pay my losses. And then all of a sudden, I started having a profit. More things happened to me.
Speaking of $100.
What?
I was talking to Ace.
Oh?
Speaking of $100.
Oh, yes. Before I do that, I just got an idea.
Now, don't back out.
I'm not backing out. The idea is in connection with this $100.
What's going on here? What are you two talking about?
Now, Jane, I think this keeping a budget book is a little too involved for you.
Beg pardon?
I mean, you have to enter what you spend, and it entails a lot of bookkeeping. There's a much simpler way.
What way?
Well, I think you might be wise to start a checking account.
A checking account? What do you mean?
Well...
I don't think that would be so wise.
Now, wait a minute, Marge. What do you mean, dear?
Well, it's simply this. I put over this deal with Mr. Neff.
Yes?
And you had something to do with helping me put it over.
I did?
Well, sure. You were there and... Well, I'm going to give you a little present.
You are? What kind of a present?
$100.
$100?
Yes. You've been carrying on around here the past week, so trying to borrow $100, so I thought...
$100? You are not.
Yes, I am. I thought it was only fair that...
$100? You are not.
Yes, I said I was.
Oh, dear. I never dreamed.
Oh, now, Jane, is that any way to accept it? $100?
Well, I can't help it. It's so strange.
Well, Jane, you'll get used to it.
Why, I forgot that I was even trying to borrow the money. I didn't dream that you were going to give it to me. $100. You are not.
Listen, you're going to have me convinced in a minute.
Jane, now be careful. Don't talk yourself out of this.
Now, look, Jane, here's what I think you ought to do with it. Start a bank account, not a savings account, a checking account. The $100 will be your first deposit. Then, with what I give you every week and what Marge pays you, you can keep track on check stubs just how you stand. Pay your bills with checks.
I never wrote a check.
Well, I don't think you'll have much trouble learning.
The trouble she'll have is learning when not to write.
Well, I don't know how to start a checking account. What do you have to do?
Well, Jane, you take the $100 to the bank, and you deposit it, just like it was in a savings account. They give you a checkbook, and you keep track of the stubs what you're going to be spending. I think a checking account will be just what you need. It'll give you a sort of responsibility.
I don't know what to do. How do you start
I'm
it?
I'm telling you how.
If you want me to, I'll go with you.
All right. When are you going to give it to me, dear?
I'll write a check tonight if you like.
You'll write a check? Well, whose checking account is this going to be?
It's going to be yours. I'll write you a check on my bank, I mean. Then you take the check and you deposit it in your bank. And that starts you off with $100, and you can draw a check against my check.
Sort of a check to check.
Yes, check to check. In fact, you keep an accurate checkbook, you won't have to keep your budget at all.
Give up my budget book?
Sure. This takes place of it. After all, you only keep track of everything you take in and everything you spend.
Oh, I couldn't give it up now, dear. especially since I've been doing so good. Just when I start having a profit, why, you want...
Yeah, let her keep the budget book, too, if she wants to.
Sure, dear. Let me keep the budget book, too, if I want to. Look, this week is just over tonight, and I've come out with a profit.
How much, Jane?
Well, not a whole lot, maybe.
I don't really like that not whole lot.
Well...
It must be only a little bit.
What difference does it make? As long as it's a profit. I've been in the red so long, like you just called it.
Well, now that you're in the black, I think the first thing you want to do is buy yourself a fresh bottle of black ink.
Spend money on a bottle of ink?
Yes.
What? And be in the red again? Oh, no.
How much profit have you got there, anyhow? Let me see the book.
Well, it's easy to see that Jane's profit she's bragging about isn't very much if the purchase of a bottle of ink will put her back in the red. But now she goes in for a bank account. We learn more about it when next we meet the Easy Aces.
That is there. What fun doing this with you.
The next little show is one from Ethel and Albert, and in it, Ethel is trying to get rid of Albert's fishing hat. So the title of this show is, Where's My Fishing Hat?
The Private Life of Ethel and Albert. The small problems of everyday life are familiar to all of us. For example, are you a saver or a thrower-outer? Let's see what happened when Albert went off on a business convention and Ethel started cleaning closets. Right now, Ethel is on the phone with her friend Muriel, and why don't we pick up the extension and eavesdrop?
Muriel, are you getting dinner? Oh, good. No, I just thought I'd give you a call and chat a bit. It's the first time I've sat down all day. All week, really. Well, I've started spring cleaning and gotten a ton of stuff ready to give to the United Church Drive. Oh, I have to do these things when Albert's away. Well, you know how men are. He will not throw away anything. I know. I started with the closets in the attic on Monday, and, hold on. There's a taxi out in front. Oh, I don't believe it. It's Albert. He wasn't due home until Saturday, and I wanted all this stuff picked up tomorrow. Oh, I hope he doesn't see all the boxes piled up in the garage. I can't talk. I can't talk. He's coming up the walk. Oh, you should see the front hall. Stuff to be thrown out or given away. Goodbye. 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 Yes?
Ethel, surprise! I'm home.
Oh, don't be surprised, Muriel, if we're headed for a divorce. Oh, Muriel, he just came in. I've got to hang up. Right.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Oh, honey. Goodbye, Muriel. What are you doing home? You said you wouldn't be home until Saturday.
What kind of a greeting is that? I missed you. Decided to cut the convention short.
Oh, well, good. Good. Good.
Don't I even get a kiss?
Oh, you do. You do. You do.
How's my girl?
Oh, fine. Fine. Just fine.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Just surprised.
Well, I saw everybody I had to see, and there wasn't any point in hanging around. I certainly didn't need this top coat. It was hot in Atlanta.
Oh, here, I'll hang it up.
No, I'll do it.
Well, did you have fun?
I didn't go for fun. It was just a business convention. What happened to all the hangers in the closet?
Oh, well, I've been sort of cleaning out things. There were a lot of wire hangers, but there's a wooden one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've sort of started the spring house cleaning.
Oh, boy. We're in for that mess, huh?
Well, as my mother always said, if it has to be done, if you want a clean house...
And if your mother said it, that's a golden rule.
Are you going to start in on my mother?
No, you said yourself that your mother cleans house as though every room was going to be used for open heart surgery.
That's true.
Did I get any mail?
Oh, it's on the desk. Nothing special. You've only been gone 5 days. Lots of catalogs and a letter from your mother.
What is she mad about now?
Oh, she's right. She said she wishes you would stop sending her bath powder for her birthday.
I asked you to pick out something.
It's your mother, and I feel you should take the time to pick out something special for your own mother.
All right, all right.
Well, Albert, she'd like to feel that you gave it some thought. Anyhow, there's nothing in the marriage vows that says women have to do all the letter writing and all the choosing of wedding and birthday gifts and Christmas presents. I mean, husbands should take some responsibility.
Okay, let's not get into that again. You have a point.
Well, I better go see what I can rustle up for dinner. I didn't expect you. I was just going to have a sandwich. I'll see what I can...
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What?
Well?
Well, what?
For Pete's sake, aren't you going to even ask me how my speech went?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, how did it go? Went well, huh?
Oh.
I just knew it would. You're just... Anything you say when you get up to talk is just wonderful.
Oh, I don't know how wonderful I was, but...
Well, everybody liked it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they said so.
Oh, of course. Why not? I mean, and that joke you had, you know, the...
They loved it!
they laughed?
They roared! It was... I mean, the way I worked it in.
Oh, I know. I know. I knew it would.
I mean, the whole thing, everything was just...
Perfect.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was perfect or not, but the big shots from the company came up afterwards and shook my hand and congratulated me.
Oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. Let me give you another kiss.
Mm. Mm. I missed you. And what are all these boxes?
Well, now, why don't we have something to eat? You must be starved after that long train ride and...
What are all these boxes?
Look, honey.
The front hall is a mess. I didn't even notice. I was so glad to get home. What in Sam Hill is all this?
Now, look, Albert, don't start rummaging through everything.
My bathrobe, my good bathrobe.
It is not your good bathrobe. Your good bathrobe, it's the bathrobe you had in college. In college. It's faded. It's ragged. The only thing it has going for it is that it's warm.
I don't even want to ask what it's doing all rolled up and jammed in this box. And here's my good suede jacket.
You have not worn that for 10 years. You haven't even been able to get into it for 10 years.
My red sweater with the blue stripes! My favorite sweater! What is wrong with this sweater that it should be in this box?
Put it on. Just put it on. The last time you put it on, you couldn't even get it buttoned. Why are you keeping all these things?
Why are you throwing them out?
I'm not throwing them out. They're going to the poor and needy and to the homeless and...
Well, I belong to the poor and needy, and you are going to be among the homeless if you don't stop throwing things out.
Oh, Albert, the town is having a United Church drive. It's a worthy cause. I don't know why you want to save everything, Albert.
Because I'm a saver.
Well, I'm a thrower-outer.
I know.
But you want to save everything.
I know.
You don't even throw out a toothpick.
Oh?
No, you don't. I saw last week you used a toothpick and then you set it on a saucer. What were you going to do, use it the next day?
You exaggerate.
Our whole house is filled with things we don't need and don't use.
The day may come when we will need and use everything.
When?
I don't know. When the world comes to an end.
If the world comes to an end, why do we need anything?
It is really impossible to discuss anything with a woman.
Look. You save everything. Newspapers, magazines, catalogs. Catalogs from years ago. They don't even make the same merchandise anymore. 20 years ago. But you save it. Our attic, our cupboard, our closets. Let me tell you something.
I'm tired of talking about it. Let me look over my mail.
Now, don't do that to me. Just don't do that to me.
Don't do what?
Whenever we start talking about something that we should talk about, you just want to drop it.
Ethel, I'm tired. I just got home from a very tiresome convention.
You said you had a good time.
I didn't say I had a good time.
All right. You gave a speech and it went very well. The point is...
The point is that I wish you would not give anything away or throw anything out that I have not had a chance to look over. Is that too much to ask?
No, but I know what you'll do. You'll just put everything back.
I'd like to get out of these clothes and into something comfortable.
Let me tell you something. All this paper stuff that you save, it's a fire hazard. When are you going to read 20 years of the National Geographic?
When I am old and gray, which may well be very soon.
I haven't given anything away that you could still wear. Nothing. Isn't it better to give away things to somebody who needs them?
How would you like it if I threw out your things?
I don't keep things I can't wear and know I'll never wear.
I know. I can't even get even with you.
Oh, well, don't be mad.
I'm not. Not really. I don't know what it is about me. I just like to save everything. It really kills me to throw anything out.
I know. Maybe when people are getting married, it should say something about that.
What do you mean?
Instead of saying, do you promise to keep him in sickness and health, it should say, do you promise not to throw out his old smelly basketball sneakers? What's the matter?
You've changed the living room around.
Yes, like it? I cleaned the room. Windows and woodwork, you know how I like to rearrange furniture. Now, admit it, doesn't the sofa look marvelous in front of the bay window?
Something's missing.
I'm hungry. Let's go out in the kitchen and see what I can find for...
Where is my chair?
The springs are gone. The seat of the chair is touching the floor.
Where is it?
The leather is discolored and stained and faded.
Where is it?
In the garage.
In the garage? Did you put a lamp beside it? Am I supposed to sit in the garage now when I come home at night? Sit there amidst all the oil cans and the old tires and read my evening newspaper?
The oil cans and the tires have been taken to the dump.
My father sat in that chair. My grandfather and his father's father.
It is not a family heirloom. Your father bought it from Mrs. Brooks when Mr. Brooks died. He paid her $15 for it, and she had wanted to give it to him.
It is the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in. It just fits.
The man from the upholstery store said it would cost more to replace the springs and get the leather reupholstered than to get a new chair. Even the junk man just said, burn it. Dear, I know that hurts your feelings, but...
I'm going upstairs and get out of my good clothes. By the way...
We spent a fortune doing over the living room, which was your idea. That chair is an eyesore.
By the way, I have not told you that I'm going fishing this weekend.
Fishing? Fishing?
Do you mind?
No. Nope.
Look, I know we have a difference of opinion here. Promise you won't do anything until we have a chance to talk it over, and I promise you that I will, I'll give away something.
How come you are suddenly going fishing?
Well, I saw Bob Bradley at the train station. He said our poker crowd is going, and why didn't I join them? So I'll change clothes and round up my fishing gear while you get us something to eat, okay?
Yes. Oh, yes. Go on up. Oh, boy. Fishing. The worst is yet to come. Albert, dinner's ready. Come on, dear.
I cannot find my fishing hat.
Come and eat while everything's hot.
I can't find my fishing hat.
Oh, it must be around somewhere. Come to the table. Look what I fixed.
I always leave my fishing hat on that hook in the back hall.
Pork chops. Look, the way you like them, with onions and milk gravy.
Can't go fishing without that hat. My good luck hat.
Mashed potatoes and peas with mushrooms.
First time I ever wore that hat, I caught that 8-pound pickerel. Remember? Huh? 8-pound pickerel. Remember?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Now eat while things are hot.
It's been my good luck hat ever since. I never catch any fish unless I have that hat on.
Oh, I guess you'd catch fish wearing another hat, dear.
Nope. No, I wouldn't. Hey, maybe I put it in the attic.
Oh, don't go up there right now. I mean, Albert, I fussed so over dinner.
Well, okay. Can't go fishing without that hat.
Oh, forget the hat. I just mean it was a dirty, filthy old thing anyhow. Looked awful to me. Will you pass the applesauce?
Hold everything. What do you mean it was a dirty?
Well, I just meant don't make such a fuss. What if it is lost?
Look at me. Look at me.
That hat looked terrible on you. Awful. Everybody said so.
And just who is everybody?
Well, everybody.
Everybody in the world? 2 billion people do not like my fishing hat?
Well, 1 billion. Listen, I was so humiliated the last time you came home from fishing. My old school friend Carol stopped to see me. Hadn't seen her since college. And you walked in the door. You hadn't shaved for 5 days. You had on that filthy, stained, droopy hat with all the fishing flies on it. And I had to say, well, this is Albert. This is my husband.
So?
Well, so she wrote to Edna Sternby and she said, because Edna told me, Carol said, isn't it a shame Ethel married sort of a bum?
I
I'd been fishing. What did you want me to have on? Top hat, white tie, and tails?
Well, other men go fishing and still look nice.
That hat is the only hat I can wear and still catch fish.
Oh, come on. That's nonsense. Pass the salt, please, and let's stop talking about it.
The only hat I can wear and still catch fish.
I suppose the fish come up out of the water and take a look at your hat before they decide to bite your hook.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, actually, it's funny about you going fishing, because I have a surprise for you. And if you can't find your old hat...
It's here someplace.
In the meantime... Here, I went past the sporting goods store today, and there in the window were, of all things, fishing hats. So, here, open the sack. Oh, I'll do it. Look.
What is it?
Oh, come on, what is it? It's exactly the same hat that the sales clerk wears when he goes fishing.
I don't care what hat some sales clerk wears when he goes fishing.
He loves it. And he said you would too. I couldn't remember what size hat you wear, so we took a chance. 6 3/4.
Give it here.
Try it on. Put it on. Uh-oh. Oh, honey. Look in the mirror.
This is the hat you want me to wear? This you're not ashamed of?
Well, it's too small. You'll have to exchange it.
It's fine, thank you. If this is the way you want me to look for your friends...
Take it off. It looks ridiculous. You look like a cartoon.
It's fine. Let's eat.
Look, I know you're upset because you can't find your old hat, but...
What did you do with it?
I threw it out.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. You threw it out?
You want a divorce?
You threw it out. You like this new fishing hat better?
Well, you'll have to exchange it. It's miles too small. It just sits on the top of your head.
No. You gave it to me. That means a lot. It's a lovely hat. I'll wear it. I may even wear it to bed.
Well, your old hat really did look terrible on you.
I'm sure this is much more attractive. Pass the applesauce, please.
Here.
Thank you.
Take that silly thing off.
Leave it alone. Go away. Go on. This is the hat you want me to wear.
Oh, really, Albert? You just make me crazy when you act like this.
Me? You make me crazy. Tell me something. I'd like to know where wives get the idea that is their inalienable right to dispose of their husband's property as they see fit. Walter told me Julie threw out his favorite pipe because she said it smelled.
Well, pipes do smell.
It's time that wives learn that there are certain things that men hold sacred. Their pipes, their old leather jackets, ragged bathrobes, sweaters, certain things that a man likes as well as he likes his wife. Better sometimes.
You don't understand.
No, you don't understand. When I was 4 years old, I had a rabbit, a bunny rabbit. I called him Billy Bunny. I loved him, and he died. I buried him in a cornflakes box in the asparagus patch. I cried for 2 days. That's the way I feel about my old fishing hat.
Oh, all right. I didn't think I'd get by with it. Reach over and look in the bottom cupboard right in front.
My hat!
That awful thing. Please don't wear it at the dinner table.
I couldn't believe my darling wife had really thrown it away.
I had you worried.
You think you're pretty cute, don't you?
After dinner, remind me to call Muriel. She told me she dumped Benny's dreadful old bedroom slippers in the trash. I better tell her to go dig them out.
What I like about this hat is the way the brim sort of ripples around my face.
I can't look at you. spoils my appetite. After all the years we've been married and I'd never heard about your little Billy Bunny Rabbit before, I think you made it up.
No, no. He was beautiful. White, fluffy. Tall pink ears and a wonderful big round cotton ball tail. And...
Eat your dinner.
The Private Life of Ethel and Albert was written by Peg Lynch. Ethel was portrayed by Esther Geddes McVeigh, and Albert was played by Kim Turner. Sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Mike Wheeler, directed by Greg Porter. I'm Melinda Maines, and this is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Yes.
The next little show is Vic and Sade, and the title of the show is Uncle Fletcher Comes to Stay. It's also one of the early ones that we did. Now, Vic and Sade was a series from 1932 to 1945, always written by Paul Reimer. It was usually 15 minutes long and broadcast in the middle of the day. But it wasn't a soap opera. It was something different. Admittedly, it's an acquired taste. But we have fallen in love with the four people that are involved in Vic and Sade, and we plan to record a lot of them. Hope you like this one.
Well, sir, it's about the middle of the morning as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the back porch we find young Mr. Rushcook and his great-uncle Fletcher. The gentlemen are seated side by side on the top step but one, talking casually about this, that, and the other thing. Listen.
I like a collie myself.
Oh, I like a bulldog better.
Yes, a bulldog makes a good dog. It's like anything else. Some people like one thing, some like the other. I've always liked blunt-toed shoes. Well, I know fellas that like pointed-toed shoes.
Don't make much difference to me about my shoes.
You're like me with coffee.
Am I?
With coffee, I can take it with cream or without cream. With sugar or without sugar. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. I could name you off a dozen folk it makes plenty of difference to about whether they take cream and sugar in their coffee or not. But not me. Put sugar in my coffee or don't put sugar in my coffee. I'll drink it.
Uh-huh.
Been that way all my life.
No, but about dogs, I think a bulldog's got more pep than a collie. A bulldog just as soon bites your leg off as look at you. What I'd like to have is a mean bulldog. Lead him around on a chain.
Rush!
Oh, hello, Mom.
Can I see you a minute?
Oh, sure.
Come on inside. You making out all right, Uncle Fletcher?
Fine, Sadie, fine. Wonderful day.
Yes, it is.
Looked like rain when I got up this morning.
Oh, did it?
Quite a few dark clouds in the west.
Uh-huh.
What you want, Mom?
Come on in the house a minute.
Yeah.
He'll be out again directly.
All right.
Let's go in the living room.
You want to talk to me about,
Garbage wagon in the alley, Sadie.
All right.
You want to talk to me about...
Morning, Gumpox. How are you this morning?
Oh, there he goes again.
Say, you were all wrong in that argument we had yesterday. I looked up the information in the encyclopedia, and it said...
Uncle Fletcher!
...rutabagas had just as much nourishment any day in the week as parsnips.
Uncle Fletcher!
Yes, Sadie?
Would you mind not yelling, please?
Railroad engineer next door still asleep?
Yes, I believe he is.
I'm sorry.
Second time today I've told him about yelling. He don't remember stuff a minute. Mr. Donahue got in off a St. Louis freight drag at 9 o'clock, and he's trying to get some rest. Simply dead tired.
Who'd Uncle Fletcher yell to before?
Oh, the mailman. Yelled to him from his bedroom window. Pretty warm day to be tromping around with that big bag of letters, ain't it? I'll bet your job's pretty hard on shoe leather. Top of his lungs, he hollered. Goodness!
What'd you want to talk to me about, Mom?
Uncle Fletcher, he's got to be spoken to. And I think you're the one to do it.
Aww.
Yes, I do.
But I can't bawl out, Uncle Fletcher.
It's not a matter of bawling out anyone. But you kind of halfway suggest stuff.
I should think you
when
would.
When I make any remarks to him that sounds anything like I'm criticizing, he shuts right up tight and acts like he's been injured. You can drop little hints and insinuations and he'll never notice. For instance, you can say to
Sadie, Brick Mush Man.
Oh, my.
Oh, heck, Mom, he don't mean anything.
Of course he don't mean anything. Only thing is, I'm saying is...
Sadie, Brick Mush Man.
I'll bet Mr. Donahue over next door in bed is fit to be tied.
How we fix for Brick Mush, Sadie? The Brick Mush Man's out here.
We got plenty Brick Mush on hand, Uncle Fletcher.
What?
Tell the Brick Mush Man not to bother leaving any Brick Mush. We got all the Brick Mush we can possibly...
What?
You yell.
I didn't catch what you said, Sadie.
We got enough Brick Mush, Uncle Fletcher.
Got enough Brick Mush?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why does he yell when I tell him not to yell?
He forgets.
He's got to be spoken to. And not only just about yelling to people, either. He's got to be told to leave things alone. He put my front doorbell on the blink this morning.
Did he?
Yes, he said it didn't ring loud enough, and he went and got tools from the basement, and he disconnected wires and screwed out screws and everything else. Now the darn bell won't let out a peep. It's not funny.
No, I know it's not, only...
Also, he nailed himself to a kitchen chair.
Yeah?
He said one of the legs was coming loose, and he got a hammer and nail, and he started to pound away. He was sitting on the chair while he pounded, tried to get up, and couldn't. He'd hammered nails right through his pants.
Shucks.
Did you see the address business he made for the front porch?
Was that what he was whittling on after breakfast this morning?
Yes. He whittled this enormous big board. It's as big as a sign. Then he printed numbers on it and stuck it out on the front porch up above the mailbox.
Is it there now?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll go take a look at it.
You can go look at it later.
Number plate for the house, huh?
Yes. Only printed the wrong number.
Yeah?
No more our address than a rabbit. He's got a 7 where there's supposed to be a 4 and a 0 where there's supposed to be an 8.
Oh, by George, Mom, Uncle Fletcher is the darndest.
I'll say. I wonder what Mr. Donahue thought of that pounding. Uncle Fletcher pounded the kitchen chair and then pounded his number plate. Person could hear the commotion a mile away. He's got to be spoken to.
I don't think I better.
I do. You can drop little hints and insinuations. If I say anything, he thinks he's being criticized and tightens right up. Why don't you just kind of buttonhole him and...
You people in the living room?
Hello!
Sun's getting pretty hot outside.
Yeah?
I can't stand hot sunshine like I used to could. Didn't want any Brick Mush, eh, Sadie?
Got more on hand now than we can use.
I told the fella you had plenty.
Uh-huh.
Seems like a nice, sociable fella.
Yes.
Am I interrupting something here?
Oh, not at all. Sit down.
No, thanks. On my way upstairs.
To lay down a little while?
Oh, no.
Getting up at 5 o'clock the way you do, I wouldn't blame you for feeling tired.
No, I'm not tired. Just going to my room and write a letter.
Write it here on the library table, pen and ink in the drawer and stuff.
Believe I'd rather go to my room and write with a pencil.
All right.
Don't care much for pen and ink. When I write, I generally chew on the pencil point while I'm thinking. Fella chews on a pen and ink, and he gets ink all over his face and necktie.
Uh-huh.
So if you'll excuse me, I'll just stroll on upstairs.
Anything you like.
Gonna drop a line to my landlady in Dixon, Mrs. Keller.
Uh-huh.
Tell her I'm feeling well and having a good time and so on.
Sure.
Ask her to send me on my rocking chair.
rocking chair?
I hope you won't think that's a slam on your chairs. Matter of fact, it helps me feel at home if I got my own rocking chair to sit in. Hmm. I wake up in the morning, and if I see my own rocking chair there by the bed, I'm easy and comfortable. I'd feel at home in Africa if I had my own rocking chair along.
Uh-huh.
You don't mind if I have Miss Keller send me on my rocking chair?
Oh, no, no, of course not.
Well, I'll go on up and write my letter.
All right.
Need me for anything, want anything fixed, you know, just holler.
All right.
I like to make myself useful whether I'm company or not.
Uh-huh.
Sadie?
Yes?
I say if you need me for anything, want anything fixed, just holler.
All right.
I like to make myself useful whether I'm company or not.
All right. Oh, he's sending for furniture?
Just a rocking chair is all.
A rocking chair is furniture. How long's he intend to stay, do you suppose?
No.
Goodness, if he sends for his rocking chair, next thing he's liable to send for is his dresser, his bed, his trunk.
Mom, I like Uncle Fletcher around.
Oh, sure. Person likes him around and all, but it's so wearing on a person. You take this morning. All that yelling with Mr. Donahue trying to get some sleep next door. The monstrous signboard he whittled out for the front porch with our wrong address on it. Nailed himself to a kitchen chair, putting my bell on the blink. Oh.
Yeah, but still.
It's that getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning that really beats me. And he's talking to himself. Well, I can't sleep myself after 5 o'clock worrying about what he's up to. He might paint the house. He might crawl up on the roof and try to shingle it and fall off and break his neck. And now he's sending for his furniture. How long's he planned to stay? Why, heaven's alive. He might even decide to stay.
How are you this morning?
Oh, my.
Heck, Mom, he's got a right to.
Listen.
Can't kick thanks. Feeling fine.
He's hollering out the window.
Uh-huh.
Glorious day, glorious day.
Hollering out the Donahue side of the house.
Yeah.
We've had a beautiful summer in Dixon. Not too hot, not too cold. Thermometer hung around 70 degrees all during June, July, and August.
Go up and talk to him, Rush.
Okay.
Go up and talk to him.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. You've been listening to a recreation of Vic and Sade by the American Radio Theater. In our cast, you heard Marge Lutton as Sade, Joy Jackson as Rush, and Kim Turner as Uncle Fletcher. Live sound effects by Marilyn Wilt. I'm Tom Probst. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio. And here's Jubilee.
Well, I rounded up most of the boys in the band, so if Opie will take a quick scan down the pages of his lead sheet, he'll find he's got some accompanying to do. And all the fine notes will fall into their right places. We call out a new and rising young singer to share a couple of songs with you. It's Eddie Robertson.
Has me in its spell. That old black magic that I know so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then the elevator starts its ride. And down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should sail away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. Oh, you're the lover that I've waited for, the mate that fate had me created for, and every time your lips made mine, darling, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving that spin that I'm in, singing that old black magic called
Thank you, Eddie Robertson. Fine singing there from a new sensation about to send the nation.
This program was arranged through cooperation with the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, President. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, to listen and download more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye.